This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Our guest here is the great former NBA head coach George Karl. Coach, you're on with Zaslow and Amber here in Miami. How you doing?
Oh, life is good. I'm hibernating and, you know, trying to sit in my house and figure out what to do every day.
Now, I got a little Rolling Stones for you there, Coach. I hear you're a big Stones fan, big rock fan. If that's the case, you and I, we have very similar taste in music.
Well, I'm a 70s rock and 80s, and, you know, I kind of, since about 1980, 89, I probably faded from the music scene, but the Stones are good. I think I've seen them four times, so I hear they're still trying to tour. Maybe I'll get them one more time.
What is, if I went to Coach Carl's car right now, what do you have in your go-to music right now? What would I hear?
I'm probably into quiet mode when I'm in my car. I do a little, I have talk books and stuff like that. But music-wise, it'd probably be the Beatles. I hate to say it. Maybe Simon and Garfunkel. Maybe a little Bread. A little quiet stuff.
Okay. All right. Nothing wrong with that. Well, we're glad to talk to you here. We're hoping we can have you on for, several weeks here. Talk some basketball, talk some NBA. First up, how are you doing with everything that's going on, your family and all that? Are we staying safe? How are we doing?
I'm blessed. My family is safe. My older family with grandkids living in Olympia and Olympia, Washington, so I was a little worried about them because of the Seattle problem. Yeah. But they're good, and Olympia doesn't have as much trouble as Seattle does. And my son Kobe went home from L.A. to go, and he lives in Boise, so that's a quiet place. So I think, from my standpoint in Denver, I think the governor here and the mayor have done a good job of quieting the city and bringing stillness to the situation. But I can't, just be honest with you, it shook me a little bit. You know, I checked the boxes. I'm 68. I'm a male. I've had cancer. So I'm trying to be as cautious as possible and be a good teammate to the world to try to get this this nasty thing out of our lives.
And let's talk from a basketball coach perspective. If you were still coaching in the league right now, what would you be doing? What are the coaches today? What are they doing right now? Are they keeping in touch with their players? Are they making sure everyone is staying in shape in case the league comes back? Like, what's today's coach doing right now?
I'd be going crazy. I mean, I would be just nervous as hell, worried about everything, not sleeping very well, trying to figure out, I'd probably be annoying the league office and calling all the general managers, what the hell's going on? Tell me something I don't know. What's going to happen? I think it's a very difficult time for coaches right now because it's really going to come down to the business end of the basketball world. And if it can work, and does it fit a TV profile that can probably, have a build a relationship that we can do this. But it's confusing, it's frustrating, it's uncertain. All those things are not good psychological motivations. So As a basketball coach, I think most of them are probably going crazy. The ones that are, the guys that might be on bad teams might be happy they're not getting whipped all the time. But the guys that have gone good teams or a team like Miami that looks like they could make some noise in the playoffs are probably anxious and wanting to get back to the gym as fast as possible. But I'm a little worried because, if we come back with 30 teams and they start playing games, I'll be honest with you, I'm a little worried about some injuries for coming back too early. So I think they got to figure that out, how much time is necessary. The physiologist and the doctors are going to have to be somewhat analytical on how much time to get back and then how many games you want to play.
Yeah, Zaslow mentioned there in his question these players staying in shape, and a lot of these guys don't even have access to courts right now unless they happen to have one in their backyard. How quickly does it take basketball players to get out of game-playing shape? Like, are they already out of game-playing shape at this point?
I would think so. I would definitely, a month is definitely, if they are not doing a lot of cardio. And even if you do cardio on a treadmill or take a run in the backyard, in your neighborhood, or ride your bike, whatever you're doing, you're not playing basketball shape. So it's going to take some time. I think most people are saying 2 weeks would probably be the minimum amount of time. And different athletes, I mean, there's some guys like Gary Payton, could sit out the whole summer, pick up the basketball, and be ready to play in 2 weeks. But some other guys, if they didn't pick a basketball up and didn't condition their body, it might take a month. So everybody's going to be genetically a little different on how to get in shape. The more athletic I think the team is, probably the quicker they'll be able to get in shape.
Is it a disadvantage for everybody? Take a guy like LeBron, for example. When you're in your mid-30s, is there any possibility there where the rest, the time off, let's say there's some scenario where the league is able to return, at least for the playoffs, is there any scenario here where then LeBron is helped by the rest in a way that, maybe you otherwise wouldn't be?
I think the veteran teams are probably going to have a more of an advantage because of their experiences. I think also the older players probably like the rest a little bit more than the younger players need it. So I would lean to the veteran teams, the more teams that are more acclimated for playoff basketball and have had experiences of what's going on. And I think they'll also be adaptable to the change of, if we go from a format of instead of a 7-game series to maybe a 3-game series, I think they'll mentally and emotionally be able to figure out, the psychological advantages and edges that come with shortened series. So I would definitely think the veteran teams, the teams that have been in a championship march hunt and the championship hunt in the past years would probably have an advantage right now.
We got the great coach George Karl here with us on Zaslow and Amber, doing a little Truth in Basketball with him. Of course, you can hear his Truth in Basketball podcast, available on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, anywhere you get your podcast. George Karl, Truth in Basketball podcast. Now, I got to ask you here, Coach, I identify you. You've coached a handful of teams. When I think of George Karl, I think of your days with the Seattle Supersonics, okay? But that wasn't even the team that you coached the longest. You coached the Nuggets in the NBA the longest. But I identify you with Seattle. Do you find that fans identify you most with one specific team that you coached?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think Seattle probably had to, going to the NBA Finals has a, it has a mark on your career that a lot more people watch the NBA Finals than they probably watch the first round of the NBA playoffs. So, and of course, playing against Michael in '96 was they're a team that won 73 games that year, and we won 64, 65, and it was really fun being in the NBA Finals. And of course, there's a little bit of a magnifying glass when Michael's your opponent. So, I think you're fair. Most of my identification is probably in Seattle. Denver, we had a lot of great regular seasons, but we didn't have a lot of playoff runs that were, went to the conference finals one time, but lost in the first round the majority of the other times.
Coach, when somebody asks you where you coached, do you say the Supersonics or do you say the Sonics? Because Zaslow keeps referring
super,
to them.
Super.
He always says Supersonics whenever we're referring to that team. And super. it drives me crazy because I think he sounds nerdy.
Nerdy? Oh, man.
It's too formal. Everyone calls him the Sonics. Come on.
I'm a Supersonic guy. It was a great run. I think we had five seasons of 55 wins or more. Well, you know, we lost in the first round a couple times, and that kind of broke our the 2 years we lost in the first round were the 2 years that Michael was trying to hit a curveball down in Birmingham. So we kind of blew our opportunity a little bit there. But you know, my career has been blessed. I've had a long career in the NBA. I've seen the NBA go from a league that was looking to, you know, bankruptcies and, you know, just a lot of major problems in the 80s. So I think one of the best run, sports is in the world. And basketball has grown from, you know, a popular sport to, I think, probably the second most popular sport in the world today. And it's become international. Our world has blown up, and the change in how fast we're moving and learning and evolving is an amazing thing. And I'm fortunate that I was a part of it.
All right. Well, you're the authority, so they will be the Supersonics forevermore.
Yes.
Out of my mouth as
Thank
well.
You.
So I wanted to localize this a bit. When we're talking about associations here, associating with the team, is Pat Riley at the end of his career, is he going to be associated more with the Lakers or with the Heat at this point? Because he's been with the Heat for, what, 25 years at this point?
You know, that's interesting. I think he'll probably be associated with the Heat. Even though I his teams in LA were fantastic and really, really difficult. And a little bit, I mean, the way we play today, the Lakers were playing fast basketball even back then. But I think when Pat went to New York and Miami, he became more of a possession defensive oriented coach. And he built a system around the strengths and talents of his team. I would think, you know, because of the younger generation being a fan of the NBA, I think in the end, Pat Riley is probably recognized more as a Miami Heat guy.
Coach, if I were to guess that your favorite player in the NBA that you coached was Gary Payton, would I be right about that?
That would be a toss-up. I mean, I really enjoyed Gary, but he and I had our wrestling matches and our battles. But I would think it'd probably be someone off that Seattle team. I love Sean. I mean, Sean was probably the most talented player I've ever coached. Gary is probably the toughest competitor I've ever coached. But you got guys like Nate McMillan and Detlef Schrempf and Sam Perkins that were, I mean, the team that I loved coaching was that team. And they had a nastiness to them. They had a fight to them. They had a personality that I thought was fun to be a part of. And then off the court, they were all good guys. And they were really, you know, we fell in love. I think the city of Seattle fell in love with us. And we had a lot of good years where the city of Seattle was rocking because of basketball.
You know, you mentioned Sean Kemp there, who, for me, you know, Coach, I'm 39 years old. So I grew up, you know, not watching basketball in the 90s as a kid. And Sean Kemp was one of the most exciting players, all right, to watch in the league. And I wonder what your thoughts are. Where we got a guy down here in Bam Adebayo who appears to be an emerging star. He was an all-star this year for the first time in his third year. And one of the comparisons when Bam got to us was that he plays very similar to Sean Kemp. Have you seen very much of that?
I see a little bit of it, but I think Adebayo has a better basketball sense, and he's a better playmaker than Sean was. And I would have to say Sean is a little more explosive talent from athleticism. I love Bam a lot. I mean, he is, I would say, of the new players coming into the game, along with Giannis up in Miami, I would put him and the kid in Toronto. Those three guys, I love them to watch play because they play the game the right way. And what I admire is, at a young age, Coach Spo has got him playing the right way at a very early age. And I think he's just going to be dynamic. I think, I was looking at Miami's roster last night, and I think not only is he a special player now, the roster is kind of fit for he will grow into maybe the best player on their team. You know, Jimmy Butler would probably be what people would call the best player on their team, but from a standpoint of impact and what he could be, Bam has a possibility of becoming their best player.
This weekend on Sunday night, we got Coach Carl here with us, George Carl, Truth in Basketball podcast. You get it wherever you get your podcast from, Apple, Spotify, iHeart. He's joining us today. Probably going to hang out with him for a few weeks. If he likes us, do you like us so far? Because if you like us, we want to have you back. How are we doing so far?
Well, I just love basketball. I mean, right now, I'm going back and watching old playoff games. I mean, if you want to watch a good game with Sean Kemp, go out and watch on YouTube the game between Golden State Warriors, my first year in Seattle, which was, I think, 91, between Golden State and Mullen and Hardaway and Richmond. And we played them in the first round. And game three and game four, they were just fantastic basketball games. And so that's what I've been doing. I'm just trying to find, my love for the game of basketball is a daily thing. It's been a daily thing for over 30 years, and now I wake up and I don't have anything. So I'm searching down a lot of games. I'm watching some of the playoff games that we played. I went back and watched Denver beat us when we were in Seattle and some.
Oh, don't put yourself through that, Coach. Why are you putting yourself through that? Come on.
I was awful in that game. I mean, I went back and watched the game. I said, "Oh, I'm not doing anything right in this game. I was an awful coach."
I remember watching that as a kid because it was the first time that an 8 seed ever beat a number 1 seed. But the key was, Coach, that was back when the first round was best of 5. I wish they would go back to that. Best out of 7, not that you're going to see an 8 beat a 1 very often at all. It's only happened a few times since then. But, the series ends up being a lot more competitive. I hate it, Coach, that they switched from 5 to 7 in the first round. What do you think of that?
Well, I think if they come back and play, I think they're going to have to shorten the playoffs. I might even think they might go to a 3-round, first round playoff, and then maybe second and third round be a 5-game series, and maybe the finals be a 7-game series. I don't know what you all feel about bringing the season back. I want basketball back. I want it to be back, but I kind of want it to be back healthy, strong, and vibrant. I don't want it to come back and there's all this controversy over whatever happens, or no fans in the crowd, or shortened season. And you're going to have so many opinions thrown against the wall that I think it could create confusion. And the summertime is a relaxed time for a lot of people going on vacation. And I just hope whatever Commissioner Silver decides, that the game comes back in a way that we will have it bigger and better, not troubled by the decision to come back.
I agree with you. I think you make good points. I think it'll be a black cloud that's hanging over every game. But I want to ask you before we let you go here, Coach, this Sunday night on ESPN, they're airing the first part of the 10-part series documentary, Michael Jordan, The Last Dance, about that last season, 1998 with the Chicago Bulls. And of course, you mentioned you faced those Bulls in the finals in 96. Are you going to be dialed into that on Sunday night? Does that interest you watching that documentary?
I really am. I'm not sure I'm going to watch all 10 episodes of it, but I'm probably over time I'll watch all 10 episodes. My feeling on it is, there's for about 25 years now, we've had the LeBron and Michael. Who's the best? LeBron, Michael, LeBron, Michael. And it drives me crazy because, I love great players. I like Magic. I like Bird. I like John Stockton. Tim Duncan. There are a lot of great, great players. And it's a personal thing. But one thing I do like about Michael is people don't understand how dominating he was. And as where I think LeBron is a great player, and I think he's the best player in basketball for the last 10 years, But he doesn't have the separation that Michael had in the NBA. Michael, I thought, was number one. And number two, sometimes we didn't even know who number two was. It was Malone sometimes, Barkley sometimes, whoever, Tim Duncan or someone. I mean, but when Michael was in the league, he was so much better than the second best player. And I think if you go back, and I think the games will show, and he was a total and complete player, as is LeBron. LeBron plays like all aspects and facets of the game. But Michael made the game so easy to play, as does LeBron. But I think Michael's dominance, I think over this of 10 episodes, 5 weekends of Michael Jordan, I think people are going to realize what a special player he was.
You know, Coach, I'll leave you with this. It's a great point you make, because while I certainly agree that LeBron's the best player in the league, you got people who say, nah, Giannis is the best player now, or Kawhi is the best player now, or Durant is the best player right now. But Michael Jordan, okay, when he was playing, nobody ever made a case that he was not the best player in the league at the time.
I agree 100%. I mean, he's a special player, a special talent. I mean, things like he's never played in a game 7 in a playoff series.
Right.
I mean, he never put himself in a position to lose. He's the MVP of every finals that he played in. The dominance of his greatness and specialness, and he was, you know, he was an unbelievably good athlete and talented basketball player. But his mental toughness was, again, LeBron is very mentally tough. But I don't know if he's as mentally tough as Michael was.
Check out Coach Carl's Truth in Basketball podcast. Again, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, iHeart. Terrific job with us today, Coach. And we'll talk to you next week. What else we got going on? We're home? Talk some hoops with us.
I would love to. I'll be glad to join you. And Amber, I'm gonna be carrying the word nerdy with me for a long time.
Yeah, Amber. Listen, Coach Carl and I, we're not a couple nerds here, all right? Supersonics, that's the name, Amber.
Yeah, I'm the nerd. I got it. He's the authority. I'm listening to Coach.
Okay, I hope it's a basketball nerd and not an analytical nerd.
Okay, very good. Great job, Coach. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, have a great day, guys.
Girl. All right, see you, Coach. There you go. That's Coach Carl right there. All right, we got the answer. Supersonics.
Doesn't want to be associated with the analytical nerds.
Yeah, no. He's old school.
He's old school.
Good job out of him. We'll talk to him again next week. Truth in Basketball with George Carl.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.